Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the first ever broadcast of Minority Business Radio, a brand new show that features interviews with innovative entrepreneurs and successful business minority leaders. And I'm your host, Kumbi Tinoye. Now, it's my distinct pleasure to introduce our guest, and I'm extremely excited to be here today. First guest I want to introduce you to is serial entrepreneur Kelly Burton, who's been making waves with her latest business venture, Bodyology. And also, my next guest is a phenomenal woman. She's the award-winning entrepreneur and business mogul, Mary Parker, founder of All in One Security. She's also the founder of the Mary Parker Foundation and also of Chicken Charge. And I really need to talk to her about that book. But first off, we're going to kick off with a young man called Justin McLeod. He's a millennial, by the way, co-founder and CEO of Event Tent App. Yes. So we're going to kick off with him. So Justin, how are you today?
I'm great, great. Thank you for having me, inviting me to your first show. This is awesome.
Okay, so just tell me a bit about what you've been up to recently.
We just been really recruiting on different campaigns. So recruiting, funding, just moving around, just shaking. The main thing is getting the app done right now. So we actually finished the app. We're going to do a soft launch next Saturday. And yeah, that's a lot. I mean, a lot has been done, but that's the summarized story of it.
All right. For listeners that don't know, just tell people about your app. And before you even start that, mm-hmm. I really need to mention that Justin was the actual winner of the Urban Geeks and Atlanta Tech Village Tech Entrepreneur Competition. So he's an extremely talented young man. And also he has a phenomenal brand. So just tell us a bit about the brand.
Yeah. So Event Tent is a centralized place to discover and share unique experiences. Basically, it's a mobile solution that eliminates media clutter and simplifies the event search by having an event-focused platform where you can create, promote, and preview a live event before you actually go to it. So, we've been working on it for probably, about 2 years as far as the concept. As far as development, just a year. It's a team of five of us, majority of us from Georgia State University. We have one other individual from Georgia Tech that helped us out, coding and programming. But we've just been moving different business plan competitions, competitions like yourself. We've been in Athens. We've been in Miami a couple weeks ago. So yeah, just keeping it moving.
And I think I'm right in saying that you actually started this business because you're young. I've said you're young about five times. You're very young. I think I'm right in saying you're 22. You actually started as an undergraduate at college. So how did that sort of work? Doing a degree and actually working on a business.
I would say It was tough as far as the actual, I had the concept a couple of years ago, I think my sophomore year in college. But when I actually wanted to start doing it, 110%, actually putting it down. So I put it down in an actual business plan, like I said, and actually started going out and looking for people and just doing a whole bunch of research. And then I found my co-founder, which is Duval Smith. We played football on the same team together at Georgia State University. And we just noticed the disconnect between students and their involvement on campus. It was just not a lot of students to go to on-campus events or events in Atlanta. So we just been doing that. And then it's just handling, going to school and working and trying to launch a business at the same time, I would say is extremely tough. But time management and organization is one of the things I really relied on when I really started pushing the brand.
So am I right in saying you've actually got a soft launch coming up? So tell us where tell us where you're at now.
Yeah, sure. So right now we're going to do a soft launch of the app. We're just going to be on iPhone. We're going to do it in Atlanta, Georgia. So just to kind of test it out. The main thing is to kind of get a feel for it. I know we've been doing a lot of marketing with the actual brand, but we're going to actually push out the actual product, the app, and just see, how people receive it, what we can change up, what we can make better for the people. And yeah, that's the main thing. And then do a live launch in September.
Okay. So now let's talk about money. Let's talk about money. As an entrepreneur, that's obviously always a big thing that we need to think about. Mm-hmm. How are you funding your business?
Well, right now we're bootstrapping the business. So my main thing is just get it done, one way or another. My background is in event management. So I'm used to having big budgets and then kind of just managing it, delegating it to certain, allocating it to certain, resources in different ways to kind of just make it work. So we won $10,000 from the Georgia Business Plan Competition in April 2015, and we're still working off that. And we built that, and we still have money left over. And, like I said, we have other competitions and other conferences that we're going to and just networking. I think the main thing investors want to see is the actual product. So we're going to release the product next Saturday and show people what we got.
And it is actually, it is an amazing brand. It looks phenomenal.
Thank you.
Just something I want to sort of talk about. There's been a lot of debate about the lack of diversity in the tech, in the tech ecosystem. And obviously, you know, your brand is a technology brand. What are your thoughts about that? Because, you know, a young African American man being, you know, the CEO of an app. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, when I came up with the idea, you know, I didn't have any knowledge at all as far as computer science, about, you know, computer information, anything with computers. You know, my background is just creative and just event planning. But I had the concept and I had the drive and ambition and the dedication to kind of just stick it through as far as the idea. But I feel that just like being an African-American in the tech space is very... I say it's new for, like, I guess our culture, because we're kind of used to, rapping or playing sports and thinking that you actually made it. But I wanted to kind of show something different as far as, like, you can be cool still and be in technology, because technology is cool. It's innovative, you know, and it's rapidly moving and rapidly growing. And I kind of wanted to be, me and my team, we want to kind of be like pioneers in that sense. It's like, you can be young, you can be cool, and then you can actually, you know, code, you can program. And we wanted to show that. And I kind of seen the really disconnect between, like I said, African-Americans in the technology field is actually being involved in that. So I looked up, you know, in Silicon Valley, it's less than 1% of African-American black tech founders. So, why is that? I don't know. But we want to kind of, like I said, be the pioneers and kind of show people, like, you know, you don't have to do the typical stuff. You can, you know, go into this field and be successful in it as well. So,
right. So going back to your youth, which I'm saying say, again, hey. I know you're a millennial. There's been this, there's a lot of marketers and, you know, branding experts. They're always talking about how to capture the millennial market.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, what do millennials want as a consumer? What do millennials want? Because this is what everyone's talking about.
Yeah. So I think that's a great question. And, a lot of big companies, they're always looking like, what do they want? You know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of what our differentiation factor is as well. Like, majority of us are under 25. So we know what the people want. And I would say what we want is basically just be very personal, you know, and very relatable and very relevant. So if things are happening like right now, we want to know what's going on right now. You know, just staying on top of stuff as far as... what they want, as far as on my end, as far as my business goes, experiences. I mean, people love living in the moment and sharing. We like to share any and everything, you know, from, you know, your picture to, you know, you going out or anything, you know what I'm saying? Any form of your life, you like to share it, you know? And that's the main thing, is just as far as big companies wanting to kind of connect to that brand, is being really personal with them and being really relevant, you know? And being genuine too, because I know a lot of big companies and brands, they try a little bit too hard to be like, oh, we're trying to be hip, we're trying to be cool. It's like, just be yourself, be cool, you know? And don't, you know, it's just simple and yeah, staying relevant, really.
So Kelly and Mary, I know you two are sort of established entrepreneurs. Do you have any thoughts about what he said about, you know, millennial consumers? I'm not sure if your brands are trying to tap into that, or whether you even have any millennials as employees.
I would like to take that. And first of all, Justin, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on such quick successes.
Thank you.
And on the launching of your app, mm-hmm. and also for being the tech geek winner.
Thank you.
And so to answer that question, let me just say that, yes, we do have millennials on our team, mm-hmm. both at our corporate level, at All in One Security, and especially with the Mary Parker Foundation. So I would like to encourage you by saying, not only is this the right time and right theme for you to do embracing technology, but it is also the smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the great differentiators within the African-American community. We tend to look at things that are common, mm-hmm. Things that are already being done. But for you to step outside or to say that there's no box containing you is applaudable. And I applaud you today. You make us proud.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And have you got any thoughts on that, Kelly?
Well, at Bodyology, our marketing and social media team are all millennial. I think our generation spends way too much time like bemoaning and lamenting the ways that millennials are different than we are. But what we don't understand and realize is that they've got just so much to offer and contribute. They've got tons of energy. They're very bright. They've got great ideas. And one thing about this generation is different is they're very open-minded. And they're very open-hearted. The other side of my life is philanthropy. And young people are coming into this space and they are just flipping philanthropy on its head because they see a better way. So, we've seen at Bodyology and also in my consulting firm that millennials have a lot more to contribute than they kind of take away or detract.
Okay, thank you so much for that. So, Justin, where do you see your app? I mean, do you want this to be the next Facebook? I mean, where do you see your app in 5 years' time? Where do you want to be?
So the event industry, we feel like the small event organizers get overlooked. For example, like the nonprofit organizations or the small art galleries, those are very unique experiences that aren't really getting recognized. And we really want to give them a voice and give them awareness. And the way we think, like I said, is just like the visual aspect of it. Like people don't know about it. They're unaware of those events. So if we give them a preview of it, then, that'd be great. So, like I said, within the next 2 years, we want to take over Atlanta, Georgia, simply because the event industry is going to be, booming in the next few years. We have the NCAA National Championship coming in 2018, the Super Bowl is coming in 2019, and the Final Four is coming in 2020. So that's a lot of outside, people coming to Atlanta. So we feel like if we take over Atlanta within these next 2 years, then we'll be able to expand simply because of tourists that are coming to the city, and they'll take it to, their city as well. So we want to be the number one brand in Atlanta first, and then use the big events that's coming to the city of Atlanta. We want to grow with Atlanta, basically.
Okay, thank you so much. So just tell listeners, the URL of your website and how people can get hold of you and your social media handles.
Sure. So you can go directly if you want more information at www.eventtentapp.com. That's eventtentapp.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Event Tent App. Event Tent App.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And just congratulations once again for winning the Urban Geeks and Atlanta Tech Village competition.
And I want to say thank you so much for that, that opportunity. Because we looked at Atlanta Tech Village a couple years ago, but then actually, having the opportunity to be in Tech Village and given that opportunity, I want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because it's a great, great, great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the biggest tech hub in the Southeast. It's a phenomenal place to be based. Thank you so much, Justin.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you. So now next off, let's have a chat with Mary, the phenomenal Mary Parker, who, for those of you who don't know, has a mind-blowing resume, a woman of many achievements. She's the first woman in the U.S. to run a certified multi-million-dollar full-service security company, all-in-one services, which provides security personnel and technology. She also has her own foundation, which I'm sure she's going to talk about as well. And Mary's also just written a new book called Chicken Charge. So thank you so much for being here. We're so privileged to have someone of your expertise here. So really, the first thing I really want to ask you is obviously just let's talk about all-in-one security, because that's obviously, what you're sort of best known for. Security, African-American woman. Wow. That's, it's amazing. When I think about security and that kind of field, I just don't see, minority woman. So first of all, I really want to ask you, what was it like being an African-American woman? Or what is it like being an African-American woman in a male-dominated industry? And what strategies have you used to survive and thrive?
Oh, Thank you so much for being here today. And as Justin stated, it is indeed an honor to be a part of your first show. In so many areas of my life, I'm one of the first. So being here today only adds to the list. So thank you very much for that. Before answering the question, though, I just want to go back and piggyback on something that was said during your conversation, Justin, and that is, without continuing to add the creativity, the foresight, and the innovations of the millennials to our team at All in One Security, we will run ourselves out of business doing it the way the baby boomers know how to do it. And so to move on to answering your question, All in One Security, how did I get in the industry and what's been some of the challenges for me? Well, first of all, let me just say that security wasn't my chosen career field. However, I did start my career in male-dominated industries. And when I was going to lose my job in manufacturing, I created a position as a security officer at General Motors some 30-plus years ago. And from there, climbing that corporate ladder and then being demoted, you've got to find other things to do. So I guess I used some creativity, innovation back then. I left the company really without a plan. But one of the things I can say here is young people tend to spend a little bit more time researching where they're going than we did, perhaps because of access to information today. But some of the challenges I faced when, leaving corporate America and starting my own company, my first company was started with a partner, worked with them for 8 years, and then finally, All in One was birthed in 2001. That company I started in my kitchen, just myself, and a lot of faith, lots of prayers. But from there, I began to realize what about the industry is different with an African-American woman. One such thing is we're able to look at security from a totality. Because of my childhood and background, I saw the law on the other side of the fence and work and operating with my grandfather. But more importantly, I saw it from the perspective of many times we're the accusers of violating security in many ways. And I wanted to know, how can we, as a person looking more like the offenders, can make a difference in the industry? Well, we set out, we began to hire more African Americans, training them in an upward mobility position, and also hiring, promoting from within. That has been great. Some of the challenges, of course, as many African American businesses face, is lack of access to capital. And so what I did was max out every credit card I had, every credit card family members and friends had, but we were going to make this thing go, and we did. You talk about events. We started our business. My first job was a special event, Erykah Badu concert at the Fox Theater, and we still provide special event security, Super Bowls and NBA All-Star. Your market is also our target market as well. And so challenges, of course, finding other African-Americans within the industry as we build our team, to have a team of people who look like us, because the industry, overall just does not mirror what we look like as African-American and women. But the other piece that I want to add here is I believe the primary thing that has distinguished me within the industry is the fact that I've become an expert in the security industry, not just providing security guards to protect our clients, but we've also integrated security systems, access control, and the most recent piece has been that of lighting, LED lighting, and surveillance.
Wow. So you started on your own, and I think I'm right in saying you have now nearly 300 employees. It's a multi-million dollar company, which is, for me, I just think, incredible. It really is an amazing achievement. What I want to ask you is, how did you scale your business? Because that's something that, I always think about, particularly with minority businesses. You have this small business, How did you grow it? How did you scale it? How did you make it so big?
Education, relationships, mentors, and not being afraid to establish a business that would ultimately become a corporation. In doing so, I attended lots of training, filling the gaps of things I didn't know from an operational perspective. Now, when I put on my uniform and went out to protect, I knew my game. But operationally, I did not. I didn't understand finances, you know, all the things that go along with running and maintaining and sustaining a corporation. I built a team of experts in their specific areas, i.e. human resources, finance, marketing, and directors of operations within the field. Pulling all those people together actually and building my team made us even more competitive within the industry. But, you know, to your point, we as African Americans typically stop at the point of doing what we know how to do. But in order to sustain and grow a company, we've got to come outside of the box and begin doing and offering services that we're not as comfortable with, such as technology. Originally, we only did protective services with people. But in today's industry, we've got big boys, you know, watching us everywhere we go. So in order to distinguish ourselves from some of our competitors, we continue to add services that our clients were buying from somewhere else. So we created a one contract, one stop relationship with the clients and just continue building that way.
Okay, you strike me as someone who's very courageous and obviously someone who has a lot of faith just for you to achieve so much. I mean, how do you keep going? I'm sure, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of your business, but I'm sure you've had, you know, many highs and lows running your business for a number of years. How do you keep going? How do you keep that faith going when you have setbacks in, you know, particularly with on the business side?
As a little girl, I was very courageous. I was also very inquisitive. And so if one thing didn't work, let's figure out how to do something that will work. And a man said to me once, 10 two-letter words, and they are, if it is to be, it is up to me. And I believed it. So anytime I had setbacks, and you know, believe me, there have been many, and failures, I knew that I couldn't stop there because whatever it was I was doing and others depending on me to do, I had to do it. Lots of prayer, prayer warriors, faith, and I'm one of those people who just believe the word of God that says, you know, faith without works is dead. So if I'm believing in something, I also have got to create an action plan to do something along that thought. You know what I mean? And so that's what has helped me a lot. In addition to that, is sitting at the feet of other people and gaining wise counsel. Sometimes we talk to people and they give their opinions, but it is not necessarily the advice that we need for those particular situations.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your insights. I know in recent years, you're really spreading your wings. You've achieved so much, you know, in your professional life. So tell us a bit. I know that you have a foundation. Tell me a bit about that foundation, the work that it does.
When we start things, sometimes it's just on, you know, and it's just an idea. I want to do something to help and to give back because God has blessed us so much. And I believe that to whom much is given, much is required. And I also believe that we as a people of success and accomplishments have an obligation. It's no longer a choice for me. That is my opinion. We have an obligation to reach back and continue expanding generations. Because African-American business owners and successors, for many of us, this is the first time in our generation. And often we've had to start from the beginning with everything we do, be it go get a college education, buy a new house, or start a new business. We're the first ones in our families to do that. And with the foundation, we wanted to close some of those gaps. We recognize five generations. And the reason for that is we want the young people to get the wisdom and experience and feedback from the older generations. And in doing so, we celebrate every year these five generations at our annual gala. It is the Mary Parker Foundation, Raising Other Generations. The purpose of that gala is to increase our ability to provide scholarships for students. Most of our students are those who really, really need the additional support. But we don't want to overlook those students who work really, really hard to accomplish and be the top of their classes either. And so with the scholarship, this year we're providing 10 students with $25,000. And over the last few years, we have provided scholarships to 24 students serving at 17 colleges and universities across the U.S., totaling $91,000. So as of next week, we will have donated and contributed over $100,000 into educating our next generation of leaders. And the other reason I do that is because it is a passion to watch the parents, the pride in the eyes of those parents and those children when they walk across stage accepting their degrees. And we don't just give them money. We are totally involved in their process through college. We attend their graduations, whatever the events are, we're there to support them. And the most recent thing we're doing is we're actually forming an alumni of Raising Other Generation college graduates and wow. scholarship recipients.
Wow. So I know that you've actually got your gala coming up. It's on June the 4th at the Hyatt. So tell us about that, because that's just around the corner.
Yes, yes, yes. And tickets are still on sale. Sponsorships are available. You can get that information at our website at MaryParkerFoundation.org. The event is this Saturday at the Hyatt Regency Atlanta Hotel, where Peter McCone is the general manager and the immediate past chair of the Mary Parker Foundation. We're expecting an access of over 500. Dr. Bobby Jones is receiving our Legends Generational Award, and the Victoria Royale is our mistress of ceremony. Mm-hmm. We are expecting guests, Kim Fields and some other local entertainers have committed to our VIP, and we are excited. We're very, very excited. So we want you to come on out. If you don't have your tickets, purchase them, come on out, help us celebrate, and also add your name to the list of those who's making an impact and empowering another generation.
Well, sounds like a phenomenal event. So now I really need to talk to you about your new book. And I love the title of this book, Chicken Charge. So tell me about this book, Chicken Charge, and, you know, why you wrote it and what's it about?
Well, writing the book actually brings my life to full circle. I've got the entrepreneurial piece, I've got the philanthropic piece, and now this helps me to really tell my story from where my life began through educating and entrepreneurship, giving back. This is the person who I am. It's not the person that you saw in the beginning, but now Mary Parker is full circle. Writing the book, The Chick in Charge, gave me a moment to go back in time, look back and stand on the grounds of my grandparents' homestead in rural Mississippi, which is where I'm from. And I'm the second oldest of 9 children of sharecropper parents. My story is chronicled in the book, The Chick in Charge. The book was not written just for me, but the book is written to tell the story of how we have overcome, really. The Chick in Charge talks about the early beginnings of life when certain decisions about what I would do were formed in my life. My grandmother's influence, my grandfather being an entrepreneur as well as a sharecropper. But for today, we as women are successful in virtually every industry. But where do we come from? We're not sharing our story of the fact that it's been challenges. We are unwed mothers. We've gone through bad divorces and abuse. It's not what we are today, but the things we've gone through embodies the chick in charge. She's a leader. When she's knocked down, she finds ways to get up. She assumes a posture of leadership. And it's not about an attitude. It's about a posture of determination. It's a posture of empowering others. It's a posture of telling our story I'm the writer, but I assure you, if any of you in this room read my book, somewhere you're going to find something about your story.
Wow, sounds amazing.
The book is going very well. We launched in January, overwhelmingly success. We had over roughly 300 people at the book launching. We had 500 copies and sold out. And since then, I've been on tour and I'm having a ball doing so. But 50% of the proceeds of the sale of the book goes back to the Mary Parker Foundation. And I would just like to also share with our listening audience today some of our supporters. We have very, very strong supporters here in the Atlanta market because they support the cause of the Mary Parker Foundation. AGL Resources. I got to give a big shout out to my friends over at AGL. They're one of our avid sponsors for this gala this year. Mm-hmm. One of their presidents, Melvin Williams, is receiving the Connecting Generations mm-hmm. Award. But they've been supporters of us long term. They've mentored us, and they've been a longstanding client. This year, Grady Hospital is one of our sponsors. Continued support from Fraser and Dieter, and of course the Hyatt Regency Hotel.
Okay, so I actually want to just ask you, one or two more questions about the chicken charge. But talking about your sponsors, you sound like someone who's actually built a lot of relationships, good relationships with people to get these kind of sponsorship deals. I mean, tell me a bit about building relationships and working with people over a number of years and people trusting you to work with them in partnerships, because a lot of entrepreneurs, they need to partner with other organizations. So just tell me something about that. And then we're going to go back to the chicken jar and start rounding off. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Several things I want to mention here in reference to relationships. Sometimes we come across that one client or person that we absolutely, it's just not a fit. Regardless to what we try, it's not good. It's not a fit. Don't waste or lose a lot of time there, but log them. Keep them in your background somewhere. Never burn bridges. Sometimes we may have to go in the bathroom and cry to relieve some of that anxiety, but come back out with a willing attitude to work through whatever differences you may, challenges you may meet that causes the relationship to bomb. But you want people to know you. You want them to know that your word is your bond. You want to over-deliver and under-promise. Whatever you commit to them, you want to deliver that. You know why? Because they're going to tell everyone else. They're going to tell them how committed you are to customer service, following up. Follow-up is a huge one. When we go out to networking events, we collect all of these business cards and we think we're going to eat the whole elephant in the room. I developed a strategy. I only want 3 bites. For whatever networking event, give me 3 good bites and I'm good to go. But within those 3 bites, I'm putting a timeline. Is it a hot lead? Why do I need to develop this relationship? Why do they need to know that I was there? So there are questions that you want to qualify in categorizing the people and the relationships that you're building. You can learn from people from afar. I've had afar mentors that never met me, but I followed them religiously. Relationships, people do business. This is a proven fact. People do business with people they like. You want to make sure people understand your core values. If it's honesty, integrity, fairness, faithfulness, you want to practice that. You want it to be visible every time you step out. And that's how I have personally built relationships all over the world. And they know me as that security lady first. But secondly, they know me of a woman of faith, of integrity. And my bond is my word. Relationships, I believe, in so many cases, because we've had the experience, is better than having a pocket full of cash. Mm-hmm. Relationships can take you much farther than money ever can. You know why? You never know who knows whom. And in doing so, as we spoke earlier today, I mentioned a couple of names to Justin. I'm going to put you in contact with them within 24 hours. Here's my timeline. If it's hot, you're going to get a 12-hour response. If it's medium and it can be moved to a hot type of relationship, 24 to 12 hours. Typically, if that's a good lead or something I believe in is going to move forward, it's never going to be more than 72 hours before I reach back and connect with that person. And they remember that.
That's wonderful.
One other thing we don't do anymore, and that is a handwritten note. Airports, it's convenient to pick up a card. From time to time, just make someone's day. Send them a handwritten note, two or three words, just thinking about you. Have an absolutely fantastic day. You bring smile and they're going, oh my, whenever I get a handwritten note, I look at that note two, three, four times a day and I don't put it away too quickly. So it means a lot. And then don't go into relationships always looking for something for you. To make a difference, you want to leave something with them with no expectations of a return on it. People like that. You know, one of the things we'll do for the gala, we'll invite people as our special guests for no other reason than we want to continue to develop that relationship.
Okay, thank you so much for those words of wisdom. I just really want to sort of start rounding up now, but I did really want to, you know, just talk a little bit more about Chicken Charge. You're very candid in the book and extremely transparent. I've actually read extracts of the book. Why did you decide to be so open?
Because I want people to be open with me. And so many times is a year down the line when it's something very critical to a relationship that we don't learn. I've done it as well. Not as much, but I wanted my story of transparency to help other people to realize it's okay. It's okay because we can use those instances or those things that occurred that we've been hiding to deliver and set someone else free. You know, as an example, I became pregnant in my senior year in high school. How rewarding would it be for a 17-year-old senior who's pregnant, thinking that her ambitions and everything she wished for is demolished, to read my story or to have an appointment and sit down and talk with me? Or, you know, people who don't think I'm married or ever been married, to know that one of the reasons is because I married very young, but I had an abusive husband. I don't look like that today, but those are experiences of my life. Same with in business. You know, people tell us how successful we are and we buy into that crap and we know it's not true. So we learn how to mask what they're saying and we go on with it as though we're believing it and we do nothing about it. When we do that, we stagnate everything in our lives. But the moment we begin to release that falsehood, that pretense, that pretentiousness and get real with it, we're then about, what are we going to do that's going to make a sustaining difference? If I'd continued wearing the mask in my business, we would probably not be talking about it today. So, you know, as I speak, as people read the book, those are things that I want to help people to understand. It's not what people see on the outside of the mask, but when you take that mask off and turn it around, what is it that you see? Some of that is bondage, and some of it is freedom.
Right. So tell our listeners where they can actually buy this phenomenal, amazing book.
You can get my book. It is on all electronic ebook versions, iTunes, Barnes & Noble. But you can also purchase, and I love that hard copy. I love to feel the turning of pages, and many people still do. So you can purchase the book at www.thechickincharge.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. And is there any other way that our listeners can get hold of you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at I am Mary H. Parker, Facebook Mary Parker, and of course, All in One Security.
Right. Thank you so much, Mary. Phenomenal words of wisdom there. So now let's turn to Kelly. So Kelly, you've been making waves as a successful serial entrepreneur, and I know your latest business venture is Bodyology. So tell our listeners a bit about that business.
Sure. So Bodyology is a tech-based apparel company where we infuse everyday basics with high-performance technology. So I am sitting across from Justin right now. He's got on a cap that says Dry Fit. So it's that sort of technology that we incorporate into our clothes because we believe that women are not just active in the gym or on the track or the trail. Going back to what Mary said earlier, women are active and engaged in every sector of life. They're active all day long. So why not have that technology working for you throughout the day?
So why did you actually launch Bodyology? Is there a personal story behind that?
There absolutely is. There always is one, right? 2010, 2011, I was diagnosed with Graves' disease. It's a thyroid condition that results when your thyroid is hyperactive. And in my consulting business, it triggered all these symptoms. And the one that was the most unbearable was the sweats. So I'd have very severe sweats. I'd be presenting to clients on very important topics like education and public safety and health, and I'd be sweating bullets. And it caused me to be insecure because I didn't want them to think that I was sweating because I was not prepared or I was not able or capable. In reality, my body was just kind of turning on me. I tried to find just basic things to wear into my clothes. I saw how my husband put on an undershirt every day to help to manage the same issue. And I couldn't find anything remotely close. I'll never forget standing in the middle of a department store intimate apparel section, and I was surrounded by wall-to-wall shapewear. Shapewear is fine, but, you know, there's something wrong with an industry where we can buy a piece of shapewear for every day of the year and still have some left. And we just don't have functional clothing to just get us through our day without being hot or cold or smelly or funky or whatever. So that's what Bodyology is all about. It's about transferring that technology that's been present within active wear for the last 15 years into apparel categories that could help benefit, you know, folks throughout their day.
Okay, so tell us where you are with your business now, because sure. I know you've been getting a lot of press, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute, but tell us where you are with your business now.
Yeah, so we launched in 2014, I believe. It's been 2 years and some change, so it flies. And so we are in the design phase of our second collection, which is great. So we get to apply everything that we've learned from our customers, from consumers, from merchants over the last 2 years to create an improved, enhanced collection. We've got a great relationship with Macy's. Last year, we were one of 10 companies from across the country selected to participate in their workshop program. They bring you to New York and they educate you on everything from soup to nuts on what you need to do in order to enter and sustain within a large-scale retailer. And so we're in their vendor pipeline, and it's just up to us to get all of our ducks in a row to be camera ready for that type of opportunity. And we think this new collection is exactly what we need in order to kind of take us to that next level. With that said, that requires capital. So like Mary, like Justin, I bootstrapped my company. I had a very successful consulting firm that generated profits year over year, and I was able to redirect those resources to the development of Bodyology, creating our infrastructure, our branding, our first collection, all that jazz. But now we've got these connections and relationships that would allow us to go to a next level. What we need is the capital to allow us to really capitalize on those relationships, on those opportunities. And so we're in the process of kind of getting all of our materials together to enter into our first round of funding.
Wonderful. So your first round of funding, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And talking about that, is that very much based on relationships with people you already know? I mean, because that's, you know, funding for entrepreneurs and startups is a really big thing. I mean, how are you know, is this based on relationships with people you know, or how are you approaching, getting funded?
So Kunbi, I'm going to tell you, it's a brave new world. This is Minority Business Radio, right? And as minorities, we're taught to bootstrap. We're taught to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do it on your own. And if you can't, you're some kind of social case, right? So it kind of creates a mindset. But then you go out there in the world and you see that you've got peers that are, you know, launching companies with just a concept on $5 million. And you're like, oh, man, like, how did that happen? How does that work? So it's, you know, it's me kind of on operating on faith and saying, OK, I'm going to engage this world, too. I'm capable. I've got the goods. We've established proof of concept. I think we're ready for that type of opportunity. You know, I'm a researcher. That's the other side of my world. And we did a research, a study on minority businesses in New Orleans about 2 years ago. And we learned that 3% of revenues generated in this country are generated by minority firms, not by Black firms or Asian firms or Hispanic firms, but all minorities. 3% of revenues in this country are generated by minority firms. That means 97% of revenues are generated by white-led firms. That's a disparity, a real disparity, a 20, 30-point disparity. And we've got to catch up. And if we're not really capitalizing on current models for fundraising, angel investment, venture capital, if we continue to kind of stick to this bootstrapping mentality that this is the only way because this is what we've been taught, we're going to continue to be left behind because folks are scaling companies at breakneck speed. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, so for my process, it's building out my network to say my network is insufficient to get me where I need to go. So it's a continued process, but I'm learning every step of the way.
Yeah, it really is a steep learning curve. And obviously, there's certain things that entrepreneurs need to know about, like the pitch deck and some of even the terminology.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, if you don't know the terminology and you go into certain meetings, you're already finished. So I think you're right. That's so important, to kind of go down the line, particularly to scale your business. So tell us, talk to me, because I know this is something of interest to you. Talk to me about, closing the wealth gap among minorities. Mm-hmm. I know that's something that you're quite passionate about.
It is.
So tell me some of your thoughts there.
Well, kind of going back to this statistic, 3% model, and a lot of my, most of my colleagues are entrepreneurs, we're small business owners. But what we learned in this study is that oftentimes minorities are really great at creating lifestyle businesses. So you're an accountant, you're an attorney, you have a shop or store, you might generate, you know, $500,000 a year or $750,000 or $250,000. You've got a comfortable life. You go on vacation with your spouse once a year. Your kids are in private school. But when we're talking about real wealth, like generational wealth, the kind of wealth that can impact communities, we don't really have access to that. So I had a conversation with a wonderful woman who sold her company for $100 million several years ago. And I was talking to her about, you know, engaging this process of fundraising. And she said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to create a list of 100 people that you know who have $25,000 to blow. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, is she talking to me? I'm sorry. Me? I grew up in Camden, New Jersey, which was the murder capital of the country in 1980s when I was growing up there. I was the first person on both sides of my family to get an advanced degree. I'm the one, you know, that I was like, go, Kelly, way to go. We're watching you go. We saw you on that thing. So, there are not a lot of those folks. And even if they're comfortable, if they make $250,000 a year and they send their kids to private school and they have a 401k, they ain't got $25,000 to blow. So it's not like they can lose it in the laundry and not notice. I don't have those folks in my network. Mm-hmm. But that means that I need to step outside of my comfort zone and I've got to find those folks. I have to, you know, get into those circles. I have to move within those spaces because minorities, we've got ideas. We've got, you know, thoughts about how we move all sorts of issues forward. But if we don't have access to those relationships, to those communities, to that money, we're going to continue to get left behind.
Mm. And something I've noticed with both of you, really, Justin and Kelly, I know you go to a lot of conferences and sort of see following you both on social media, Miami and various places. Do you think that's important as well, going to the sort of right events and the conferences, even if it means traveling?
Yeah.
Do you think that's pretty important?
And being comfortable being the only brown face or brown woman in the room. You've got to be okay. You've got to be okay being the only brown face in the room, walk into a tight circle of white guys and saying, hi, I'm Kelly Burton. So nice to meet you. Tell me a little bit about what you do. If you can't do that, then you're dead in the water. And you've got to kind of keep forcing yourself to do it. Say, I'm not going to default to the only other minority person in the room or the only other woman in the room. You got to say, I'm going to go to the first person I see with a blue shirt. And whoever that guy is, you go to him because you never know. You make all these kind of assumptions about who you're going to connect with. But, you know, you never really know until you put yourself out there. So I'm kind of in a mindset of just continually push myself, put myself out there, do something that I wouldn't normally do and something that's not comfortable.
And Justin, I know that you attend various conferences. Well, have you got any good leads from those conferences? How yes. beneficial is it to go to, say, a tech conference in New York, to spend money on a flight and hotel to get all the way down there?
Very, very beneficial for us as far as we went down there for a competition because we were one of the startup finalists. We didn't win the competition, but we gained something more valuable than money, and that's knowledge, just from different investors, different resources. So we actually gained an office space from just talking and networking. This guy, his name is Derek Johnson for ThoughtWorks. He kind of liked the idea, liked the concept. And he's here based in Atlanta. And he was saying, hey, yeah, so we got this open office space for you guys. And yeah, it'd be free. It was like, free. Wow. So we actually moved in June 1st next week. So we have our own office space there. And we have
Tech Village.
Space Atlanta Tech Village. So we got two spaces now. Just
that's amazing.
Based off
that's
of just
wonderful.
Networking.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So just getting out there, sort of a tech. And obviously, I know you also do a lot of the startup competitions as well. Mm-hmm. And that probably gets your brand out there as well.
Definitely. The next one we got coming up is Damon John is having something here in Atlanta, a pitch competition. So we're finalists for that as well. And that's June 2nd next week at Tech Square. So if you guys want to come, come okay. see his pitch.
Okay. That's awesome.
Thank you. Just going back to you, I'm just sort of finishing off now, Kelly.
Sure.
This is something I've noticed. So
yes.
you need to tell me how you're doing this.
Uh-oh.
I know that you've been getting a lot of press and media coverage because every time I look at your social media, I'm like, Kelly's on the front page of this magazine looking very glamorous. You know, for a lot of startups and entrepreneurs, you don't have a budget to hire a publicist or, media consultant. How are you going about getting this type of coverage? I need to know.
You need to know.
I'm taking
well,
notes.
You're a master, so you're being facetious. You don't need my advice, that's for sure. Sure.
Our listeners need to know.
Sure.
Our listeners need to know. Yeah.
You need a story. I mean, when it comes to press, they want a story. It's got to be a compelling, interesting story. And you need to be persistent. For me, it's a numbers game. So a lot of the press that you see, it's not a matter of, oh, I reached out to this magazine, Essence, last month, or I reached out to Atlanta Tribune. No, I've been cultivating those relationships for months. And it's really about just an opportunity opening up and you being on the forefront of somebody's brain to say, oh, we've got this piece about insights into how you get where you want to be in your career. Oh, I think Kelly would be a good fit for that. And then you get the emails. But I was cultivating that for some time. And you continue to cultivate it because you want to stay top of mind for people. So those are the two things that I'd say. Have a compelling story, cultivate relationships, and remember that it's a numbers game. Just continue to, reach out. Something's going to hit. But if you think you reach out to three people and you want to know why no one's followed up, well, you haven't put in the necessary effort because when it's press, it's about numbers.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kelly. So before we close, I just want to make sure listeners know how to get hold of you. So just tell listeners whatever they need to know to get hold of you.
Sure. So bodyologystore.com. That's our online store. You can always also get Bodyology at amazon.com. You can reach me at imkellyburton.com. I'm sorry. That's my website. I do have a website, kellyburton.net, if you want to know about all the things that I do, because Bodyology is just one facet. And then you can reach me on social media at I Am Kelly Burton on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kelly. And thank you so much to all our guests. This has been a phenomenal show. So much insight. Just great, great energy here. We really appreciate you. So that's it now. First edition of Minority Business Radio. Thank you and see you soon. Bye.